It's good to be back in the kingdom of God. Good to be back with you. But was away for a couple of services, and the guys did a great job here. I heard a really good message. Pastor Steve preached a good three-point message. I like those three-point messages. They stay with you, and that really stood with me. And I actually, listening to Pastor Steve, I decided to write an article on that. So my next article will be on the three keys of learning the, I can't remember what I'm going to call it, but I'll call it something that's going to be maybe sound a little bit different than what Pastor Steve said, because I don't want to plagiarize everything he said. I think he might have plagiarized himself, though. But anyway, we thank God for all the wonderful things. Pastor Ken did a message, and, you know, he's quite enthusiastic when he preaches. He gets me excited, and not as much as Pastor Dave, though. He did some message, but I don't know what he said now, so it's been a while. you know, sometimes it takes a while. Some messages hit you, and sometimes more than other times. And I want to thank everyone who's been, you know, eager and in the spirit and staying with us at Faith City Church. And you're not running away. You're believing God. Some of you haven't been around the church for months, maybe, and several weeks, maybe perhaps a few months. But I want to thank you. You're still hanging on. I see some of you online. You're still around, and there's still your home church, and you haven't gone around one or two far away. And I want to thank you all for praying and believing God with us here at Faith City Church, that we will do the will of God, the plan of God for the. You know, the local church is pivotal. And I don't know how much I can stress that. And a lot of people don't see that God is going to work through his church, his local church. And these local churches that are in our city, around, God wants to move through that. And I heard in the last days he's going to use those local churches. And some people don't go to church. They don't have a pastor, a personal pastor. And they don't have a local flock that they go to. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, get to a local church and find a pastor and work with them. There's no perfect churches. There's no perfect pastors. I want to say that, because some people want to find a perfect church. And just check in your heart. God has already put that there, and he's assigned you somewhere. 1 Corinthians 12 27:18 says there that God has set the church, every one of them, as he pleased him. Verse 27:18 says that God has put the church together. And so we want to make sure that you go into your place and find a home and find a place where you can put your talents together and put your gifts in there and serve God. Because it's hard serving God alone outside when you're all alone out there. You know, I thank God for parachurches. You know, you might get involved at a parachurch, which is an extension arm of the local church. Maybe people that do Christian work. That's not a fellowship. That's not a necessarily, they'll meet some of your needs, and thank God for that. They should be able to meet your needs, but you need to belong to a home church and have a home pastor, have a home family where you belong. And so to grow up, and some people say, I don't need a church, I don't need a pastor, and that's false doctrine, because you know, Ephesians chapter 4 is very, very clear that God said that all these ministry gifts that are there are going to be there for till Jesus comes. And, you know, he's not come back yet, so you need to hook yourself to a local church and be part of that family and be counted in as what God wants you. So I want to encourage that, and thank you very much for giving, for your giving a financial seed. And I see that we're doing good, and some of you need to begin to give again, because you haven't been giving the way you should be. And don't forget that, because your seed is important to your own life. And my seed, I prosper with my seed, and the way I give is my harvest. Your harvest is your harvest. When I give, it doesn't affect you. It affects me. It affects you in a way that we have resources at the local fellowship. But when it comes to your personal needs, you have to sow seed yourself. Any farmer knows the Bible uses the farmer, the seed sower, as an analysis of our giving in the scriptures. When we sow seed, it's for our harvest and our needs. And so sow seed continually. I've heard that many, many times. Sow seed continually so that you'll have a continual harvest coming in. And so my wife and I always make sure that we're sowing seed and we're giving. You know, sometimes it doesn't have to be a whole lot. You don't have to give everything away. Give something. Give something of your need. And use your faith where you're at. And I know there's a lot of controversy with tithing and it's a law and all that kind of stuff. But in the final analysis, you need to learn how to give. And if you're not, if your faith is not in tithing, well, I guess you can't force anybody. It's a faith thing. So don't be bothered by what other people are saying. You give according to your heart and just give consistently and you'll have a consistent harvest. And, you know, your giving, your finances of your finances is a tell sign of your faith in God. People say, you know, I can't give my 10%. I can't give 10%. I don't believe in it. Well, if you don't believe in it, you don't believe in it. And if you can't give 10%, that means your faith is not there. And for myself, I started off when I was a young man. I started giving that 10% because I heard it one time in a Pentecostal church when I was living in Kenora, Ontario. They talked about the 10%. And I went on my own before God. No one was pressuring me. And I had financial pressures, but I wanted to know how this worked out. So I went before God and I knelt in my private room and asked God about it. And I said, I'm going to follow this. And I've been following that ever since. In the beginning, it wasn't perfect, but I gave according to, you know, that 10%. And I was very shaky at that time. But God proved himself faithful in a few weeks. I was in debt, like thousands of dollars. I was just a young man coming off from rehab and starting a brand new life. And what a way God taught me financially. And I heard a man of God say this, you know, the first area that God will teach you is about your finances and learning to be led. And sure enough, God led me that way. And you'll see that in the scripture. And, you know, where you give the most is where your heart's at. The scripture says that where you spend most of your time, what you focus on most of the time of your day, where you give your offerings. If you look in your financial budget and you look at your budget and see where all your money is going to, that's where your heart's at. And I've learned to put God first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The same with my time. I didn't want to waste all my time. I want to give God my time. And so I focus on what God wanted me to do. And so much of the time we ask ourselves, what do I want to do? No, it's not what you want to do. It's what God wants you to do. It's his will. It's his purpose. And he saved you for a reason. And so I want you to think about that. And I also want to encourage you. And I want to continually say thank you so much for giving. And I want to thank God for all the wonderful staff we have. I was driving here this morning. And I didn't have to worry about the television. I didn't have to worry about the sound. I didn't have to worry about the lights. And I didn't have to worry about anything. I came here, and I've been here for 30 years, and doing the same thing, being consistent. Things will fall into place when you're consistent. So I came in here this morning, and I said, God, I'm so happy I have a staff who takes care of the other people. They shepherd the sheep with me. They love the people of God. They want to get the message out, and they want the place to be a nice place. The other day, I came to my office, and I saw, you know, first of all, when I first came in, I noticed the hallways were so spick and span. They were just so bright. In fact, you needed sunglasses or shades to walk in the hall. It's so bright. So Pastor Dave, he waxed all the floors in here. It was so bright. So thank God for Pastor Dave, and went into my office area, went to the administration area, and see all the nice, clean office and the bathrooms and everything else. And Florence came in and cleaned up. I heard she spent a number of hours in here. I came, and I thank God for that, and she does it regularly. We don't pay her anything. We didn't ask her to do it. She did it because she wants to do it, and that's the best way to be. And, you know, she doesn't put any pressure on us. I don't put any pressure on her, but she did it because God put it in her heart, and she's doing it. And her blessing is coming from God. It's not coming from us. We don't parade her on our shoulders and parade her around the office and tell people how great she is. No, she knows she's great, and God, she's great with God, and that's what you need to be. And we come in this auditorium, and, you know, Jerry and Jean cleans his auditorium spick and span. And, you know, I thank God for people's hearts like that. They want to do this. They want to work, and they want to serve God. And so I want to bless God for all those individuals. And Jean comes in here every week. We don't never see her in the front. You know, she's the kind of woman that likes to work in the back, so she works on the financial end, administration. My wife and Miss Kendra are doing the same thing. So there's many of you that we don't see. I can't even mention that you're working very hard. We have right now online. Right now we have people on the telephones, and they're waiting for people to call in and pray for the individuals across Canada on our live Spirit Alive program. And I thank God for them. And many of you that are at home right now, you're praying, you're believing God with us. You've given your tithe and your offering. You've given your affection to us. And you and some of you have taken us out for meals, and some of you bought things for us and bought us gifts. And not only just Christmas time, throughout the whole year. And we don't just celebrate Christmas around Christmas time. It's all year round. I thank God for those types of people. And so what a wonderful thing it is to work that. You know, there's so much trouble in the world. But it's nice to come to a nice haven at Faith City Church, just a home church, where you can come around and you have brothers and sisters who care for you. And the people here at the staff at Faith City Church and Spirit Alive Television Ministry, they care enough for the people across Canada, around the local church area in the city of Thunder Bay, to come and work the work of God. And I thank God, you know, you heard these young men giving testimony. And what a testimony. These guys are going to go a long, long way. I remember my life. I was just 24 years old when I got born again. And I heard the message on television, Billy Graham. And got saved. I got so happy. And I was so happy. When you get born again, it doesn't matter who you fellowship with. You just want to fellowship with other Christians. The prayer meetings were so important to me. The church services were important to me. Before, it was the bar rooms, the party, home parties, and all that stuff. And back and forth, we had the old discotheques, you know, the bright lights, and they're calling out to us. And that goes away. But I thank God today that I'm born again, I'm saved, and brand new life. And so I just want to thank you. I just shared a little bit of that. I want you to let us know wherever you are. You're a Christian, born again. Send us a message. My wife's on. Actually, she's on right now. She's receiving any emails, and you can talk to her there. Tell her something that has blessed you about Faith City Church. We want to know, because we need that encouragement too. The pastors and the staff and the people here need to know how significant they are, and they need that encouragement. And so I want you to send some message. Let the people know how important Miss Anita is and Kendra is and all these other. Varian, he's the one that does all the editing. If there's anything wrong with the editing, you tell Varian about it. He's the guy that you could blame. If it's good, you could tell me about it. So thank God for that. Anyway, I want to talk to you a few minutes. And people always look for a special message. This is a special message. God's word is a special message. And they asked Brother Hagin one time, Brother Hagin, you got any message? You got any message for the young people? He said, yes, the Bible, the Bible. It's a special message to you. And so I want to give you a special message from God this morning. I heard from him this morning again, and last night too, before I went to bed. And so I want to talk to you about finding the master plan, praying it through in the Holy Ghost. So finding the master plan of God. And, we want to talk about the purpose of God, the will of God, and that's what the master plan is all about. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. I'm reading the New American Standard Bible, and it says here, Romans 12, verse 2, it says, be not fashioned according to this world. Everybody say, world. Say, world. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sometimes, you know, I heard people say this before. You know, when you get born again, you know, God doesn't take away your mind. You know, you still have a mind to think. And, God doesn't remove your mind. You still have the same mind. You just have to renew it. And so, and it says here, renewing your mind, that's something that you do, not God does, you do it. And prove what is that good, number one. Number two, the acceptable. Number two, and number three, the perfect will of God. You see, there's degrees of getting close to God. There's degrees of finding the will of God for our lives. And sometimes people are just, you know, they're just, thank God that they're saved. You know, they just, I'm born again, thank God. I got all my needs met. But they never think about the next guy who's not saved. They never think about the another person who's still depressed like you used to be. They never think about the other guy who doesn't have his needs met, or that his children are still out there using drugs. But he goes to bed at night, sleeping, and he doesn't think about anybody else. Well, you know, we need to understand that there's degrees of being saved. You know, thank God that we're saved, but we can be more saved, so to speak, by having our lives wrapped up in the things of God. And it's more better when we're right in the middle of the will of God. Now it talks about in here the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So I want to talk about that perfect will of God, which is the master plan. God has a master plan. You know, there's keys and there's master keys. And that one key will open everything. There's keys that open some things. But there's a master plan, and God has a master plan for all of us, and it's a good plan. And so, we can pray in the Spirit, the Bible says. We can pray in tongues, and we can know, and we can walk in the plan of God, in that master plan. So I want to show you some things here. Many, many people right now are seeking God's plan or trying to find the plan of God through other means except the way God designed it. Many seek advice from other people concerning what God wants them to do or what the will of God before they even ask God and before they even read the Word of God. You know, people ask me, you know, just somebody asked me about, you know, asking what's God's plan this year, you know? Well, I don't know what God's plan for you is specifically, but generally I know a lot of things that God wants for you to do, for all of us. But I don't know specifically what He wants you to do. That's your job. Your job is to find specifically what He wants you to do concerning that master plan. And not a lot of times, you know, we try to figure out God's plan by following somebody else's plan. No, it's your job to find what God wants you to do specifically every year. I mean, it doesn't have to start January 1st. It could start February. It could start whenever you find out what it is. And so God doesn't go by our calendar. He doesn't go by January 1st. He doesn't change plans every year by January 1st. You can kick into this plan anytime. You don't have to wait till next year to make a commitment. You don't have to wait till 2022 if you missed the mark. You can start anytime. That's one good thing about the things of God. You can start right away whenever you find out. And so don't try to find somebody else's plan and use their plan. No, find out what God wants you to do specifically. But first of all, understand this, that there's a master plan that God wants everybody to do the same thing. For instance, God wants everybody to pray. That's one of the master plan things that God wants everyone to pray. God wants us to give of our lives. That's a master plan. And God wants us to serve Him. Now, specifically speaking, you have to find out where God wants you to give. You have to find out what God specifically told you to do. You know, in the local church, there's plenty of things to do. You say, come here to Faith City Church. You know, I don't know what to do. Some people, they haven't done anything at the Faith City Church. They come to church. They come Sunday morning, they leave Sunday, and I don't see them for years, weeks. In fact, there's one person called me the other day. He said, oh, I got somebody here that's on the street, and they say they belong to Faith City Church. I said, so if I know what the name is, I'll be glad to help them out. You know, we're glad to help people out here at Faith City Church. if you're a Faith City member specifically, one of our staff will come and get you. If you're on the street, well, if you've been using drugs or alcohol, we'd take you to detox. Funny thing, many people don't want to go to detox right away. But, I said, well, tell me who that person is. I'll be glad to help them out. And he said, okay, we'll find out who that person is. So they called me back and gave me a name. I didn't recognize the name. We know enough people around here that we don't have to, most names are familiar. So I've never heard that last name. I never heard the first name before. It was kind of a strange name. But people said they belong here, but I've never seen them. So one time I was in the mall, and I met a person. I shook their hand. We talked a little bit, and then I said, "So where do you go to church?" He said, "Oh, Faith City Church." Well, I've never seen that person around before. We don't have thousands of people in this building that we can't recognize someone. I mean, of course, sure, that person might have, sort of made himself belong here somehow. But, if you want this to be your home church, you go right ahead. Say, this is Faith City Church. Be part of the ministry here, and we love you, and thank God. I'm glad that people are saying they belong here, but, show your face once in a while and introduce yourself so that I can know you. Anyway, we're talking about the perfect plan of God. So, here's the point. By praying in the Spirit, praying with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can know the plan of God. By praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, we can know. God can transfer to us the master plan and giving us that thing to know on the inside of us. And as we begin to see something here, we can understand that God's will is there. So many seek advice by looking at other things before they even seek God. Some get so super spiritual, they seek after supernatural signs, like they'll want to have some kind of spiritual dream, or they want to hear some kind of voice, or they want to get into visions and prophecies and other spectacular things to know the will of God. When everybody, I said everybody, God has already predetermined the master plan, and he's going to transfer that plan over to you in your heart. God wants you to know, but what's happened is that so many people are so naturally minded, they don't pay attention to what's going on inside their spirit. They haven't built their spirit enough to actually know that God is leading them and guiding them. And so they're too outward-minded. They forget about the Spirit. And so that's why the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. So don't get too super spiritual that you missed the plan of God. Or just don't go look to the world, because the Bible says over here in our text in Romans, it says, be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in order to find the perfect will of God, notice that it says, renewing your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So we want that perfect will of God. What we're going to have to do is renew our mind. So finding the will of God is we have to get our mind in gear. We have to get our mind out of the world's view. Notice that be not fashioned according to this world. So you can't be looking for God's will trying to find it in the world. And I want to explain what the word world means so that you'll understand, you and I can understand what we're talking about here. So the word world in that verse of scripture, that text refers to the standards or the values and practices. The standards, the values, and the practices of those people who live outside the realm of God or the will of God or the word of God. So in other words, it's the views of the world. So you're not going to find the will of God by taking the world's view of things. You know, the world looks at the church different than what you and I would look at it as. The world looks at themselves according to what they see, but not according to what God sees. So we have to find God's view of it. That's why we have to renew our minds And it's very difficult, it's impossible, if you don't renew your mind, to find God's perfect plan. Otherwise, you'll just be walking on the peripheral, on the outside, looking in, and wondering why everybody's getting blessed, and why you're not hearing God, why you're not having that perfect peace that you need in this troubled time. So people call me sometimes. Last night, somebody called me about some kind of, there's a certain kind of word going on about what God's doing. You know, I don't get excited about those things because I know God, you know, he's not going to just tell one part of the family of God something and not the rest of the world. He's going to tell all of us what's going to happen. So if we stick with the word, we're going to be okay. So we have a choice either to be fashioned after the world, or we can be fashioned or transformed by the word of God. So two things you have to do, or at least you need to know. You can be fashioned according to the world or their standards and values and the way they do things or practices, or you can be transformed by the word of God. That's up to you. You have a choice. Whoever you associate with in life, the people that you surround yourself with, will influence the way you live. And I thank God that I have people around me that have a certain standard in the word of God. And I'm being encouraged by being around Pastor Steve and Pastor Ken and Pastor Dave and, you know, Varian. His name is Varian Irwin. I have another guy around here by the name is Irvin. And I haven't seen him around for a while. Maybe he looks different. But, you know, we have different people that we associate with, and they encourage each other, and we encourage each other. And so, thank God, I want to be an encouragement. You know, listen to me. I was watching something yesterday on the video, and you know how people have influenced you. And I can remember pivotal times in my life where my life took a change. I remember being about 8 years old, 8 or 10 years old. I'm going to have to check on the date on this one. And I was watching a certain correspondent on television, a First Nations man, worked for CBC, and now was an MLA in Manitoba. And he had a television program on there, and I was teaching at a college, and I was using his material for the special course I was teaching. And I was really impressed by it. This man has so much knowledge, it just floored me, just tremendous insights on certain topics. And because he made it his life to work in a certain area. And yesterday I was watching his videos, and I wanted to learn certain things because someone asked me about a certain subject, and I began to look at this subject. And it brought tears to my eyes and opened me up to something new, because it reminded me of some things that I have passions for. You know, if something touches you and you cry and moves you, and I don't know if I had a day yesterday, but it was an emotional day for me. For some reason, you know, my wife made me watch two movies, girl movies. There was two half movies that we had watched. One was called Little Women, and I was tortured to watch that emotionally. And the other one was, I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, it was a good movie. It's a pretty good movie. And so it was called Judy. I think it was called A Story of Judy Garland's Life. And it's heart-wrenching movies to watch. And I was just pulled back and forth and everything else. But anyways, let's forget those two stories. I'll go back to this guy. I was watching his work on television, and it just moved me, you know. I told those two other stories because I was just moved by something. Because of the passions in my heart. And so I'm listening to this guy, and suddenly I recognize something. This young man that was teaching, he's taught in school there, but is also a politician now. And I remember listening to him, and he shared something about his dad. And I remember his dad in the 60s. Someone had brought home a newspaper and had a cutout and showed me a picture of this First Nations man. I think he was one of the very first ones to ever graduate from Lakehead University, a First Nations man. And I remember reading that article. I don't know if I was reading, but I was kind of looking at it and hearing about it. And it imprinted on the inside of me. As a young man, I said, I'm going to do that. And of course, I graduated from the same school later on. But I remember, I'm just saying that because there's certain things in your life that influence you, that make good in your life, that influence you for the good. And I thought about something yesterday. I was cleaning around with helping my wife and around the house, and how things affect my life, and how people have influenced me. I was thinking about, if I can just help one person find Jesus, if I can just help one person change their life by my life, that'd be awesome. And I thank God that we can all influence somebody some way, because the scripture says that 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. And if you turn that around, that good character corrupts, you know, not corrupts, but influences good people to do good. And that's taken in a positive light on it. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a company of fools shall be destroyed. That's Proverbs 13:20. So you got to be careful who you associate with. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. It's important whose values that you're going to embrace, whose ways of thinking you'll embrace, whose lifestyle you'll embrace. It's important. We are not to take the counsel of the world, whose values are opposite of what God wants us to do, because surely we're not going to find the will of God or God's master plan looking at their lives. It's important who you go to if you want to find the will of God or the master plan for your life. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. And this psalm God gave me in a time of my life. I was just at university, coming back to God. I've been away from God for a few years. And I was kind of like in that gray zone. I was not going to church. I was not fully in the world, you know, drugging and all that lifestyle. I was kind of in a world where I didn't know what I was doing. And so I went back to university. And the Lord, one day, the Lord gave this scripture to me. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. How blessed, this is the New English translation. How blessed is the one who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the assembly of the scoffers. See, we're going to be blessed if we don't follow the people that are outside the plan of God. If you're going to get advice, make sure that these people, you know, if it's very important, you know, I'm talking about big things in life. I mean, there's some people who will give you good advice that they're not going to be against God. They're going to be like, you know, you go to a dentist and say, brush your teeth. Well, that's not against God. He's not, maybe not be a Christian, but brush your teeth. If you go to a garage and say, change your tires. I mean, it doesn't have to be a Christian. Good advice is good advice. And so, but I'm talking about things, critical things, like getting married to somebody, finding a place, a home church. Those things really matter where you go, what you do with your life. And so Romans 11:29 says that for the gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Romans 11:29, this is the New Living Translation. In other words, God never changes his mind. When he calls you from the very beginning, Psalm 139 says that God already made a plan for you. He written in his book the things that you ought to do. It's our job to find out what God wants us to do. You know, every year, people, during this time of the year, they go look, you know, oh God, what God's doing. They're all excited already about what God's going to do. They should be excited about this every day of their lives. Not just at Christmas time or New Year's, and they make all these resolutions, and then within 1 month, they broke everything. And I go to the gym. I've been going to the gym for years, and every time January, February comes, you get a whole pile of people coming. You can't even find your way around in the gym because there's all these people coming. By the time 6 weeks is gone, nobody's gone. Nobody's there. And it seemed like, you know, they should have been doing that all year round. And they changed their mind pretty quick. And so, you know, you need to find out not just at Christmas time or after Christmas or New Year when the calendar changes, what God wants you to do, find out every day. If you can find the master plan, it doesn't change from year to year. It's the same plan as last year, except he might tell you to do something a little bit different sometime. You could change it in March. I don't know. I know what God wants me to do. Like if somebody asks me, what's God doing? I don't know what he's going to do, you know, about everything else, but I know what God wants me to do. And so, of course, you can follow, you know, the kind of things godly people do, and you can find the master plan yourself. So God calls and equips us, all of us. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 46, that God equips us. Ephesians 4, 7 talks about that God has gifted us, graced us with a gift. Same with 1 Peter 4, 10 says that God has given every one of us, you know, giftings so that we can use our giftings to serve his purposes, to help his church, to help his people get to where it's supposed to be. Facing the church is not going to be what it should be unless we have you participating in these things. We don't have enough money to do what we should be doing. We don't have enough arms and legs to go around and do what we're supposed to do. But if you're here and the other people are here, hey, we can get together and work together and do what God's called us to do. It becomes easier that way. So Jeremiah 11, 29 says that God has a plan for our success. Not failures, success. He doesn't have any plan for you to be sick, to be injured, to break your toe, or anything else, or to lack money. God has a plan of success, and everything he has a plan of success. Notice there, Jeremiah 29 and 11, New Living Translation, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster." God doesn't plan any kind of disaster. He doesn't plan any kind of trouble for you. To give you a future and a hope. When you get up every morning and if you have the master plan, you'll never want to have a suicide attack or an anxiety attack ever. Because you know God doesn't change his plan. Romans 11, 29 says God never changes his mind. Once he's given you the plan, he's never changed. You know, I was away for a little bit in the kingdom of God, you know, walked away from the things of God because I was discouraged. Like many of us get discouraged, and the devil gets on you, pushes you further in the things of God. I thank God I didn't go back to the old way of life for those few years I was away. And just one scripture, one word of God changed me. I walked into a church where the preacher was speaking. He didn't know that what he was speaking changed my life. He said, Romans 11, 29 says that God never changes his mind. And I heard God speaking to me. Once he has a plan for you, he never changes his mind. And right from that, now I might have been away for some years, but right from then, bang, it started right again. The plan started again. And so I was back in. And I thank God for that. So your plan from year to year is not going to change. Maybe specific things God's going to make you to do. Maybe he's going to make you cut your hair. I don't know. Maybe he's going to make you grow a beard. If you can grow one, like me. And I look at Pastor Ken, and he's grown a goatee. I told him he's better trim it, and because he's looking shaggy. And so, anyway, we'll leave that in the plan of God. God's plan is not for him to be shaggy. So, Jeremiah 33 says, "Call unto me." Now, God wants to reveal the plan to you. So if you don't call unto God, how is he going to tell you? He's not going to force himself on you. He said, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Now there's things that you do not know about, that he's planned great things for you. You don't know about it until you begin to ask him. It's an awesome plan. It's far greater than you can ever think about. You know, that's how God is. It's just awesome. The things that he's got for you is awesome. You know, I would have never thought that I would have done the things that I've done in my life. I mean, this might be insignificant to somebody else, but to me, I look at my own life and say, wow, the Lord's done great things. And we have such a short life. You know, the Bible talks about, I was talking to, you know, my daughter the other day, my wife, we're talking about the plan of God. And You know, the Bible says that our life is just like a mist that goes up for a short time and it vanishes away. Just a spark, and it sparks up and it's gone away. And the Bible says, I read a scripture yesterday, that 1,000 years is like, you know, a few minutes for God. You know, it's just really nothing. It's insignificant, like a lifetime. So we got a short time. We need to make it count. Because sometimes people say, I'm going to serve God. I've personally known people in my time that said, I'm going to serve God. When I'm 65, I'm going to retire. That's when I'm going to serve God. So they put it off till they're 65. And maybe God wanted them to be in the ministry earlier. He could have done something for them then. But they've messed up all those years. Now they're going to try to serve God. I don't know how the Bible says, you know, I read scripture yesterday that we have 70 to 80 years at least, minimum. The Bible says in Psalm 92, Psalm 90, and Psalm 89 talks about a long life, and we have a certain amount of years. So, you know, most people get in those older years, you get they're 70 years old, they don't want to run around in town. They just want to be at home at 5:30 and eating supper and drinking their coffee, whatever. But when you're young, you got to serve while you got energy and make it count. So call to God. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13 says, then you shall call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search with me with all your heart. Now, the trouble is that people are not searching for God with all their heart. They're kind of casually, reading the Bible, casually praying, casually going to church, whenever it's convenient for them to go to church. It's, you know, people today, they don't want any inconvenience, you know. They don't want to inconvenience themselves to come to church. Oh, is there too hard? What if this happens? What if that happens? So they make all kinds of excuses why they can't come to church, why they can't sit in church. I have ADD. Well, learn to, you know, do something. Twiddle your thumbs while you're listening. I don't know. Find a way to listen to God. Come to church. Be one of the crowd. So in other words, here's something. The Holy Spirit will reveal the plan to you. John 16, 13 and 15 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus said, he'll guide you into all truth. So in every area of life, he's going to show you in every area of your life. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. And he will bring me glory by telling whatever he received from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he received from me. The natural man, the Bible says, and Jeremiah 10:23 says, the natural man cannot know the plan of God or what God has in his mind. Let's go look at here 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 14. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered to the heart of man the things that God had prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed to them by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. In other words, you're going to speak things by the Holy Ghost. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know him because they are spiritually discerned. So man himself, like Jeremiah 10:23 says, man himself cannot know what God has prepared. But the Spirit inside each man knows what God wants for them to do. The Holy Spirit knows, and God knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit for you. And he wants to bring that to pass as you begin to spend time in prayer with him, praying in the Spirit. He will lead his disciples. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 4, the Bible says that as they were ministering to God, they're praying and fasting, they took some time to pray and fast, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And verse 4 says, 13:4 says that they were being sent forth by the Holy Spirit. And that verse of Scripture says that Holy Spirit says, the things that I have determined for them, the things that I have planned for them. So the Holy Spirit knows what you're supposed to be doing. The closer you walk with the Spirit, the more you'll know about the master plan. And so Ephesians chapter 1 talks about in there that verse 4, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do and gave him great pleasure. Verses 9 and 11 says, God has revealed to us his mysterious plan or his master plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he'll bring everything together under authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he had chosen us in advance and makes everything work according to his plan. So God has that plan. We need to get into it. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us, and one version says recreated us, anew in Christ, Christ Jesus, so that we can do those good things he has planned for us so long ago. So God recreated us, made us brand new so that we can do those good things he planned for us a long, long time ago before he made the world, the Bible says, that he already had a plan for us. And thank God that's for us. So we have to pray the will of God to come in our lives. You know, Jesus said, this is the way you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. So we got to pray the will of God for our lives. Our Fatherhood, which art in heaven. You know, we have to know that he's our Father. Know him as God. God has seven redemptive names. Know what those redemptive names mean and how they relate to you as a believer. Find out what it is and get into that. Find out what it is. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Now we're praying that the kingdom of God will come to be manifested in our own personal lives. Thy will be done. So we need to pray the will of God for our lives. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. This is, Paul praying for the church there at Colossians. We have not stopped praying for you, Colossians 1, 9. Since we first heard about you, we ask God to give you a complete knowledge of his will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then that the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. Your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. As we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have the endurance and patience you need, that you may be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins. Thank God that he gave us this purpose. You know, we got forgiveness of sins. We can walk away. Now, we need to pray out according to the Scripture. Pray out the will of God. You know, get a Scripture. Pray those Scriptures in your life. Find a Scripture and pray that Scripture. Say, thank God, this is what it says about me. Thank God. Let's take, for example, he says here, we pray also that you may be strengthened with all glorious power. We should say, Father, I want to thank you that you strengthen me with your glorious power so that I'll have endurance, so that I'll have patience, all the patience that I need. I pray that I'll be filled with joy, always thanking you, Father. I want to thank you right now that I'm filled with joy and I'm thanking you. And then I thank you that you have enabled me to share an inheritance that belongs to God's people, your people. I thank you that I live in the light. I thank you that you rescued me from the kingdom of darkness and that darkness has no power over me, that I've been transferred in the kingdom of your dear Son, that I'm walking in the kingdom of your dear son. I thank you that you purchased my freedom, that I'm free from everything that would bind me in this world, from all the traps of the evil one. I want to thank you that you've forgiven my sins, that I'm a forgiven person. I want to thank you that I will receive no condemnation from that devil. I want to thank you for that right now. Pray that regularly. Pray that for your family. Pray that for yourself. The Bible says that we get confidence when we pray in line with the will of God, and he will answer us. And 1 John 15 and 14 says, the confidence comes when we know the will of God for our lives. Pray the will of God so that you'll have confidence. So we need to pray out those mysteries. It says here, 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. For when no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. Notice the term, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Notice the term, in the Spirit. It's tied to the first section of that verse of Scripture where it said, he that speaks in a tongue, he speaks in the Spirit. He speaks in the Spirit. Mysteries. The word mysteries refers to the plans and purposes of God. It's a mystery to everybody else. You know, it's a mystery because they don't know the mind of God. There's only two ways you're going to find the master plan. Number one is you read the Word of God regularly. And now this is going to be 21 years that I read the Bible through. I read the Bible through every year for 15 minutes a day. I do a personal reading. That's aside from my own study time. I might read, a chapter. I might read a book of Ephesians or a book of Timothy one day, but that's not counting that. I'm just 15 minutes a day, my wife and I read every day. Since 1998, Lynette Hagin gave us a Bible. So my wife been reading, we read through the Bible every day for these 21 years. And so that's a discipline we've made for ourselves. Sometimes we miss a whole week, but we catch up. Sometimes there's a time I miss 2 weeks in that time, but I try to catch up. Sometimes I miss one day, but I've done this for 21 years and made it a purpose to read my Bible every single day. That's not counting my study time that I do for my work. This is for me. So I read that every day and go to sleep every night on it. Wake up during the daytime, I'll wake up in the morning time, I'll read something else. So thank God I start my day every day. So you're not going to find the will of God if you don't do this. So read the master book. Read the master book. Read the Bible every single day for personal study and for study purposes for other things that you need to do for other people. Do that every day. You'll find that you'll be in the master plan. Number two, pray the master will by praying in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. It says here, 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. In other words, when you speak in tongues, you're not talking to people around you. You're talking to God, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking the mysteries of God, the purposes and the plans of God when you pray in tongues. So if you don't know anything to do in your life, say, Father, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this, how to figure my way out of here, but I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and I'm going to trust by faith. So you got to do this by faith. So it has to be by faith that you're going to work this plan out for me. So Father, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going to pray in the Spirit about this. So I said, purpose right now. You got to do that by faith. You can't just do it out of your head. You got to do it by faith. Because you're following this, the master book, that you're going to pray the perfect will of God. So you see that in other verses of Scripture that coincide with other Scriptures like Romans 8, 26, 27, 28, 29. Notice that 1 Corinthians 2 and 7, he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. That's the mystery is you're praying in tongues. We speak the wisdom of God. I speak. You speak. When you pray in tongues, you speak the mysteries of God. The hidden mysteries that no one else knows. The devil doesn't know about it. But when you pray in that tongue, the devil cannot subvert it. He cannot hinder it because you're praying the will of God. God says, you know, the Bible says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when you pray, you give God license to move in your life, to come in your life. He's not going to come and force his way on you. You got a purpose to do this for your children, for your life, for whatever, your country. And so do this. 1 Corinthians 14:2, New Living Translations. It says, for you have the ability to speak in tongues. You'll be talking to only to God. Since people weren't able to understand you, you'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be all mysterious. So even you won't know it, but God can transfer whatever he wants to you at that time. You might not know everything. You got to do this by faith. Father, I want to thank you that I'm walking in the plan of God, the will of God. So praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost causes us to pray the exact will of God directly into our operation, because the Holy Spirit is praying through our hearts. Romans 8:26-28 says this, the King James Bible. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. The Spirit makes intercession for us, not with us, for us. With groanings. That word groanings in the Greek language means inarticulate speech, or the speech that you cannot identify, other people can't identify. Because when you're praying in tongues, it's a speech, but it's inarticulate to you and me, but it's articulate to God. Groanings which cannot be uttered. That he that searches the hearts and minds knows what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession. Now the Holy Spirit makes intercession, notice this, for the saints. For the saints. He's doing it through you. According to the will of God. That's the master plan. You're going to pray the will of God. Say, Father, I'm going to pray the will of God. I'm going to pray the master plan right now. Thank God for it. It's happening. I'm going to pray the master plan right now for my day. It's going to be a wonderful day. It's going to be an awesome day. Pray the will of God. Your mind is going to be telling you, or if somebody beside you that's not a Christian or doesn't appreciate that kind of prayer, you say, you're crazy. No, you're not crazy. You're doing the will of God, the master plan. See, that's why they can't get into the master plan. Some people can't figure out. They come around the Faith City Church and say, Brother Robert, how did you pay for all this stuff? You know, I didn't pay for nothing. God paid for it. And I'm very just as surprised as you are that people are giving into the Spirit of Life television and that people actually listen to it. I walk around the city. People ask me, hey, Pastor Roma, I enjoy that program. I went to a place during Christmas time. I walked into a place that I didn't know. You know, I'm going to ask for direction. And the lady asked me to wait for her, and she was on the phone. Then she finally got off the phone, and she had a big smile on her face. She said, hey, you're that guy on television. I watch you every week. I watch you. We watch you, and then we go and watch the Mass, the Catholic service. We love you. We watch you. And so I was surprised. I was so taken. I was so happy. I was delivering some stuff. I said to my wife, I got to give this lady something. So I went out, and by the Spirit of Life, I had a Spirit of Life, credit card. Thank God for credit cards. And I went and bought a gift. And I went and got something. And I went and got a card, Christmas card. And I went and delivered a special delivery. Went there, went back. I said, you know what? You touched my heart today. You did something to my heart. You blessed me by just acknowledging me. I said, I just want to extend my to you by saying thank you. And I gave that card. And so, you know, she said to me, hey, you know, you bless me. You bless me more than I bless you. So anyway, I thank God for that. I would have never thought about that. The devil always reminds me that what I'm doing is not good. What I'm doing is not enough. What I'm doing is insignificant. People don't like me. People don't watch my program. The devil always tells me regularly. You know what? But I don't listen to it. I know somebody's watching. Because every once in a while I meet somebody. Sometimes I'll drive to, get a takeout, Timmy's or something, and some lady will say, "Hey, I watched your television." So you don't know who's watching you. So a lot of times, I remember when I first started being on television, I was so scared because I don't know who's going to be out there. Maybe somebody doesn't like me. But you know what? There's more people like me than hate me. There's more people for me than against me. The devil always will tell you you're not going to make it. But I'm telling you, there's more people out there love you. The Bible says, the Lord reminded me the other night, he says, that when a man's ways please the Lord, he even makes his enemies be at peace with him. So I don't worry about those enemies. God's going to take care of it. One thing I noticed about this, I was listening to a message there by Keith Moore the other day. He's one of my mentors. I listen to him regularly. I gave to him his ministry. And he says there's levels of influences the devil has in our lives. And the Bible talks about, the heavenlies, the wicked spirit in the heavenlies, and the spirits, the principalities, powers that are in this world. You know what? It's our duty. There's demons and evil spirits around here, but we have authority over every one of those devils. Every one of them. God has given us authority over every devil that you can never mention that's in this world. That Jesus already defeated those devils for us. We have authority and power over every devil. A lot of people say, you got to watch those evil spirits in the heavenlies. No, I don't have to worry a thing about those evil spirits in the heavenlies because Jesus is taking care of those ones. I don't have to worry about those ones. He takes care of those ones. All I have to do is be concerned about the ones that are here in the name of Jesus. Hey, listen, I take authority over everyone right now, every believer that's watching. I break the power of the devil over you that's influencing your sphere of influence. I break the power of the devil over you concerning sickness and disease. I break the power over you concerning your finances. I break the power of the devil over you concerning your family, your children, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God for his leading. I thank God for his power. I want to give you these before I go. I want to send everybody $100. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to send everybody $100. I want everybody that's watching me, send me $100 right now. praise God. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But if you do want to send me $100, you go right ahead. Thank God for that. This is how to find a master plan. This is the keys. Let me just give you 7 things you can do, and we're going to close. How to find the master plan. Number one, go to the source. Go to the master source. Go to the Bible. Number one, go to the Bible. Number two, read and study the general master plan regularly. Not just go skim it, but study it. Some people just read the Bible like this. They read the Bible like this. Oh, I'm done. If you're going to find a master plan, that's not how to find a master plan. You're going to have to look at it. The Bible says, look at the Bible. Read it over and over. Meditate it. Chew on it. Sometimes I'll do that with one scripture for 15 minutes, 10 minutes. One scripture. Look at it. Read it over and over. Talk to myself about it. That's called meditation. Meditating the Bible. Meditation is when you look at one scripture and you read it over and over and over to yourself. Talk to yourself about it. This is what God says about me. I have this. Thank God I have that. And you talk to yourself about it. That's meditating the Bible, meditating the Word. It's not like I saw somebody the other day on television said, they're going to meditate and watch me meditate for 10 minutes. What a boring lifestyle. We don't meditate like that. We meditate the Word of God. Hallelujah. Number three, stay within the confines of the principles of God's Word that we might govern our lives by it. In other words, govern your life by the principles of the Word of God. Make sure you're staying within the realm of that. If you're going to find the master plan, you're going to make sure that, am I staying within the confines of the Word of God? Is this the Word of God? Is this what God says in His Word? If not, make the change immediately because you're going to the values and customs and the things of the world. And number four, pray the scriptures over your life. Pray the scriptures over and over. Pray those scriptures over yourself. When you go for a walk at night, when you're going walk around by yourself, get a scripture. Make sure you do it. Pray that scripture over yourself. Find a scripture and pray that scripture over yourself. Number five, ask the Holy Spirit to help you by praying in the Holy Ghost every day. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm praying this will for my family. I'm praying the will of God. Number six, believe and expect. Now trust, rely, and expect that God is revealing his plan to you, specific things in specific matters. Let him show you every day. You must believe, you must expect God to do it. And when he does, make the change. Be practical about it. Believe and expect God is going to make the change. He's going to show you something through other people. Maybe through a circumstance, I don't know. God's going to show you, hey, this is what he wants you to do. Number seven, as I mentioned in the beginning, associate with people who already know and follow God. Get to the people who know God, who know the voice of God, who know the word of God. And that's, my brother and sister, the master plan, getting the master plan into your life. God bless you. I love every one of you. Let me just pray with you. Those of you that need to come back to Jesus, just say this, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that I'm your child. I thank you that I've been away from you. I haven't been walking close to you. I make a commitment right now to follow you right now in the name of Jesus, to follow closely to you, with you. And those of you who have never invited Jesus, this is an opportunity that you can say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you're God's Son. You're the Savior of the world. Come and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Wash me with your blood. I give my life to you. And according to your word, I'm now born again. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. You are my King, my Lord. If you pray that prayer, we want to know about who you are. We want to pray for you regularly and bring your name before God.